From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made at one of Rochester's athletic clubs, one of the most popular and exclusive in town. We're talking about Midtown Athletic Club, which is getting ready for a $10 million renovation and expansion. Midtown sought some assistance from Imagine Monroe, formerly Comida, Monroe County's industrial development agency. And that's what brings us together for this discussion, this debate of sorts today. Monroe County says the project is the perfect fit for some taxpayer support. Citing data from the Center for Governmental Research, here's why Monroe County supports the assistance for Midtown. The county gives up $535,000 in taxpayer money. In return, the expansion aims to create 20 new full-time jobs and 10 new part-time jobs. Monroe County says this is economic development and a great return on investment. The critics have been vocal. Longtime journalist Rachel Barnhart, who won her primary race for a seat on the Monroe County Legislature, says this is a case of fancy gym getting fancier and asking taxpayers to help fund it. She says Midtown is essentially like a country club filled with wealthy people. Why should they get any taxpayer assistance? After all, most Monroe County residents cannot afford a Midtown membership. As the Democrat and Chronicle notes, the Midtown expansion is ambitious. It will take about 3 years to complete, including a new 7-lane, 25-yard indoor pool and indoor turf field, refurbished fitness and social areas, new cycling, group fitness, boxing, cross-training studios, and a new front entrance. And Midtown's management points out that, by the way, the YMCA does not have to pay taxes, even though the new Pittsford Y is larger than Midtown and aims to offer the same kinds of amenities. So who's right? What's a good place for taxpayer investment and support? Our guests this hour include Glenn Williams, who's a partner and general manager of Midtown Athletic Club. Nice to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Also with us is Rachel Barnhart, a former investigative journalist who won a primary election for a seat on the county legislature. A lot of talk about a possible appointment in the offing here. Is that done yet?
It's likely to happen, possibly as soon as next week.
Okay.
So thanks for having me. I just want a full disclosure. I am a longtime YMCA member, and I have enjoyed the Midtown Athletic Club many, many times. It's a wonderful facility.
All right. And Kent Gardner is here, chief economist with the Center for Governmental Research. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Glenn, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is going on at Midtown? I tried to set the scene for this expansion, this three-year expansion, but why Imagine Monroe got involved or why you went in that direction?
Sure. Our last expansion was about 11 years ago. We put $10 million into the facility. Our goal is to grow the base of a membership to provide more services, nicer facilities. The growing base of the facility itself also enables itself to be able to expand our charitable outreach through more charitable events, through more places to have charitable events. We raise $900,000 a year. Play a part in raising that for charities, local charities in the community. There isn't a significant event at Midtown Athletic Club that does not have a charitable endeavor recipient attached to it. So it all goes hand in hand with being a partner in the community. We give back a great deal, and this just enables us to do more.
Instead of paying a lot in terms of philanthropy, why not just pay a full tax boat?
Well, you could do that, but we choose to get members involved with the charities that they're involved in. We choose to get members and guests. We choose to heighten the awareness of charities through events that attract hundreds, if not thousands, of people. You know, I don't know if you know, Fashion Week is held on our property. We host Rochester's Fashion Week for the Center for the Youth, which raised $700,000 last year. Wouldn't happen if we didn't donate the property, if we didn't clean the property up, provide the parking spaces. We've got a significant investment in that. So, look, selfishly, this also allows us to put ourselves in a map through having these events, inviting members and guests, and creating a really wonderful sense of community at Midtown Athletic Club, which is different than a YMCA and it's different than a country club. I'm not condemning either. I'm just saying what we do is singly unique to ourselves, and we've had a lot of success doing that over my past 25 years.
Rachel, you've been a critic. Let me read a statement from Monroe County, and I'll let you weigh in on this. Here's the statement from Monroe County, quote, "This project is expected to create 20 new full-time jobs and 10 new part-time jobs and invest $10.2 million into our local economy, utilizing only $535,000 in sales and mortgage tax exemptions for a benefit-to-incentive ratio of 14-1. The cost-benefit analysis used to ascertain the benefit to incentive ratio was performed by the widely respected Center for Governmental Research. Contrary to the partisan attacks you'll hear from some politicians, Imagine Monroe has been one of the most effective IDAs in the state under County Executive DeNolfo's leadership, having secured over 23,000 local jobs and $2.8 billion in private investment since 2016. In fact, Imagine Monroe is now ranked third in the state for net job gains and first for total jobs retained. End quote. Does that sway you, Rachel?
Not really. First, on the partisanship issue, if you look at my social media accounts today, many, many Republicans and Democrats agree with me on this. People are not okay with tax breaks going to a high-end gym. This is something that I think most citizens in our community agree with me on. $535,000 will not be going into the county coffers as a result of this deal. This is a county that is broke, that is struggling to pay for some basic services, and that that could use these funds. And when you have people not paying their full share, the rest of us have to make up that difference. My argument on this is not that Midtown did anything wrong by applying for these incentives, which are legal. My argument is that this is just bad policy. Just because Midtown expands doesn't mean that they're helping our economy. There aren't suddenly more people with more money to spend. They'll just make decisions about where they spend that money. That's the problem with retail tax breaks. Under the law, Midtown is not considered a retail establishment. Under the state law governing IDAs, you have to have tangible physical property being exchanged. But we have lots of gyms in this community, and we're picking winners and losers, the same as if we give tax breaks to a restaurant, such as Red Restaurant. I'm singling out Midtown, and I singled out Red because they really make the case. They make the case really well because everyone understands, wow, you know, those are places I can't afford to go, and why should they get assistance. Retail is end of the line. Midtown's not a new business in our community. The jobs that they are creating, while wonderful, probably won't attract new workers, and they'll probably not be really high-wage jobs. So we have to ask ourselves, is this smart economic development?
Why wouldn't they attract new workers, those jobs?
Are people moving into our area to take those positions? That's the kind of wealth that we want to create. I mean, we want to support manufacturing, want to support innovative companies that are creating new things in our community and new opportunities. Lifeguard jobs, I'm a swimmer every day. I love my lifeguards, but those probably aren't, that's probably not creating new wealth for us.
Okay. Kent Gardner, the county cited the CGR's research is saying, look, it's 14-1. You guys said so. Is this a good investment for the county?
Yeah, so let me explain the relationship between CGR software and how Imagine Monroe uses it. We created a cost-benefit analysis tool that rests online that 35 IDAs across the state of New York use. They use that to take information that they have about prospective projects and determine what the spillover benefits of that will be. But, you know, it's a judgment call on the part of the IDA. Now, our software has an explicit flag for retail jobs. So if you try to run a retail project through our software, a little notice comes up on the screen and says, hey, oops, you know, it's retail jobs are not considered to be economic development. They generally do not generate a new income for the community, but rather simply change the competitive playing field. Well, we don't have a flag for something like this. This is probably, they probably coded this one a leisure and hospitality.
Is this retail, like Rachel said?
It's not retail. It's leisure and hospitality.
Right, but do you think it really is? Okay,
yeah, let me just get to the end quickly. I'm sorry. So, you know, they coded this as leisure and hospitality, and the fact that they use the software to generate a number doesn't mean that we actually did it. We created the software. I mean, I would object to the word performed. We did not perform this. We had nothing to do with the analysis other than creating the software. And I just disagree with their use of it in this particular instance.
Okay, so you disagree with the use of it.
And I think that this is an inappropriate use of a tax break. So I thoroughly agree with Rachel in this case. I think, you know, tax breaks for businesses that are not bringing in jobs from outside the region, not bringing wealth in from outside the region, are clearly zero sum.
Did you tell the county that? Hey, in this case, you might have used our software, but
I did.
Okay. And they said, thanks for the advice.
I haven't gotten a response.
Okay.
So this is the tangible reality. people have choices of where they go, where they move, where they're going to continue their career. Rochester, New York needs to have the Wegmans, needs to have the George Eastman Museums, needs to have the Strong Museums of Play, needs to have something as unique as a Midtown Athletic Club that you will not find in Cleveland. You won't find it in Albany. You won't find it in Columbus, Ohio. It's recognized as one of the most unique full-service athletic clubs in the United States. It is a tangible attraction for people looking to make a choice to come to Rochester or not to come to Rochester. That has an incredible benefit to this community.
What I think is fair to ask, Glenn, is $10 million is roughly what Midtown is budgeting for the expansion. Is that right?
That's correct.
And $535,000 is the benefit in tax breaks from the county. You wouldn't have done this project if they said, look, we love you, but we're not going to do it at all?
We would have scaled it back.
By what, $535,000?
I'm not prepared to share a number with you, but let's be candid. The $535,000, just so we know what it is the tax on the construction material one time. That's what it is. No property tax abatement. So it's strictly the sales tax abatement for construction-related material. It is strictly the fee, the mortgage fee of $65,000. These are one-time abatements. We're still paying, our members are paying $1 million a year in sales tax. We're still paying our $400,000 a year in property tax. It doesn't touch those. So it's a one-time tax abatement.
Okay, no, I hear that. The reason I ask if you would still do the project is that's really what this is about. If I'm running an IDA, and literally what's on the table is, without the help here, we're not doing this, that's one thing. A scaled-back version where you're doing 95% of the project is probably another. Though, again, it sounds like you don't know what you wouldn't do if you didn't have that.
Yeah, well, $500,000 is probably 35% of an indoor pool. We might not do an indoor pool.
Okay, and so there's one other thing before I'm sure Rachel wants to jump back in here, but when you make the argument, Glenn, that you need Strong Museum of Play, you need a Midtown, you need something that sets a regional destination apart when people are making choices, beyond just you got a grocery store, you need something special, is what it sounds
like.
If
you're going to bring in doctors and okay. lawyers and professional people, you
I
need
understand
something
the
special.
And you're putting Midtown in that category, I understand. What the county did not make that argument. They said, look, this is 14 to 1. This is a great investment. These are jobs. This is economic development. And we feel like the return is there. Do you think if Planet Fitness wanted to do an investment and got the same kind of return that the county should do it for them?
Of course.
But do you view Planet Fitness as on the scale of a special regional attraction like Midtown?
Not for the same reason, no. But I didn't make the laws for what the IDAs allow for. Under the stature of what the IDAs allow for, Planet Fitness has welcomed this as well as, look, let's make an apples-to-apples comparison. LA Fitness is a quarter mile down the street from me. They got $1.6 million in everything from property tax abatements to the other abatements I talk about. You know what? I welcome LA Fitness into our industry of athletic club community. They're competitors. We'll be fierce competitors, but we'll go head-to-head, apples to apples. We want to get the same benefits that they got. It's that simple.
Okay. Rachel, you want to respond to some of what you've heard there? Go ahead.
Well, it just becomes a race to the bottom, and we've seen this in many, many, many cases where people say, look, we're just going to take our ball and go home if you don't give us what we want. I think Glenn's point is really well taken, that if other gyms are getting tax breaks, he should get one too. That's the way the system is set up right now. Restaurants have gotten tax breaks and grants. The city of Rochester hands out a lot of money to restaurants. I think it's just bad policy, and I think we have to take a step back and ask ourselves, what are we doing with this money? Is this the best way to, as Glenn made the point, is this the best way to get people to come here? Is this the best thing that we can do to get people to stay here and enjoy the quality of life in Rochester? We've got lots of wonderful things in Rochester. Are they all going to stand in a line with their hands out because of these policies? we've got a lot of needs too in Rochester, and I think we have to be really smart about how we are investing these dollars, because these are dollars that people aren't paying, and when you're not paying the money, that means someone else has to make it up. And I think that this does have an impact on the bottom line, and it does have a ripple effect in his industry, as he is noting.
Are you compelled by his point that they would not do the full $10 million expansion without this help?
So I have not visited Midtown in a few months, but I question whether the project would have happened anyway. This is something that's been talked about for a really long time that the members are really excited about. So and we see this with lots and lots of projects. You know, that's always the big question, and maybe Kent can speak to this. Will the project have happened anyway? How do you get an answer to that question, an honest answer? I've seen articles where some CEOs say, yeah, we would have come here anyway. But how do you know that? I mean, we are an area that has been kicked so many times when we're down that we don't like to take those chances.
Kent?
I don't think, honestly, that the community as a whole should care whether Glenn does this whole project or not. Honestly, I don't think it's our business. I think it's the business of his members. And if his members want to do a $10 million expansion, you know, they're welcome to do that. And I don't think that if it got scaled back because we didn't offer a tax incentive, that it should be a concern for the community as a whole. And I think that, you know, I think you expressed the, you know, one of the clauses that I think should apply to economic development projects, since what we used to call the but-for clause.
The but-for, I remember this. This is the Kent Gardnerism that I remember. The
yeah,
but-for.
That's right. The but-for clause, you know, but-for this incentive, would this go forward? But the second clause is whether this is what we call a traded sector or a non-traded sector. Traded sector, we mean that we as a region are trading this good or service with other regions around the country, and therefore, we're going to increase the aggregate wealth of the community by doing this deal. If we're talking about a manufacturing relocation, we're going to bring in 100 new jobs. The jobs could go to Charlotte, or they could go to Tampa, or they could go to San Diego. And because we dangle, and who knows, again, as Rachel says, it's always a game of poker, but nonetheless, if we do get the deal, we get 100 jobs that we wouldn't have had otherwise. That's a really clear one.
But
yeah,
what Glenn is also arguing that it's hard to measure this, but without the Midtowns in Rochester, you may not get...
Yeah, and I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I think
the strong Museum of Play.
Oh, no, Midtown. Hang on, Evan. Don't roll them all together.
He's putting Midtown on that list.
He is putting Midtown on that list, and then he said that he thought that Planet Fitness also should receive exactly the same consideration that he gets.
Well, under the law. Yeah, I just said under the law.
Well, no, under the law. Let's not talk about... I mean,
well, that was my
only point. Okay, but you know, that was right after the conversation about putting Midtown in with the Strong Museum of Play. Okay,
if the IDA allows Planet Fitness to apply and get funds, they should get it. That's my point.
Okay, well, that's a separate question. So
you're talking about the IDA changing the IDA. That's what the question is.
No, not at all, Glenn. Let me finish the point that we're starting with, Glenn. You know, are there assets that are cultural assets that really set the place apart? And I think that I've been a strong proponent of the cultural sector and the role that the cultural sector plays in encouraging people to relocate and stay in Rochester. And certainly, a strong Museum of Play is actually a tourism asset that definitely brings in people from outside the region. But let's talk about the Eastman School of Music, Kodak Theater, George Eastman Museum, on and on and on with our major cultural institutions. Midtown's a lovely facility. You're not in the same league. I'm sorry. So you're part of it, but you're not quite up there.
I respectfully disagree.
Of course you do. I do think that making an investment in our cultural assets that really do, because it is a different world. That's what we've talked about, this notion that this is a Richard Florida world where, you know, people are shopping for a community as opposed to firm shopping for people. So we do need to have a community that attracts and retains people.
So let's pursue that in one more way here. When Glenn looks at the Strong Museums, the Midtowns, the things that people who are thinking about moving for a job and go, what's in Rochester? Oh, you got this, you got that. It's for families. This is Oak Hill Country Club on that list?
Of course they are. They're out of reach economically for a lot of people, but of course they are.
Should Oak Hill Country Club get taxpayer assistance if they want to expand?
I'm not. I can't comment on that.
But what if it's the same sort of
if the IDA allows for it in their charter? Of course they should. Anybody should apply for it. it can be accepted or rejected, but of course they should.
I think the point that Kent's making is you've got members, just as Oak Hill's got members. And if Oak Hill wants a new clubhouse, they say to their members, here's what's going to happen. And there may be a flight of members, or the members might say, great, that's what we're going to do. Could you do that with your members at Midtown?
I could.
Okay. I mean, in some sense, it sounds like the membership is excited about what you're doing.
And the membership...
And they're bearing some of the cost, right?
Of course they're going to bear the cost. It's going to be over a significant period of time. But they, unlike country clubs, there's not going to be an assessment. But whatever dues increase there will be over a significant period of time.
Okay. Rachel, you want to jump back in?
I just think this is an issue the marketplace would solve when it comes to gyms. If there's a significant demand for what Midtown is offering and Midtown decided that it could no longer operate, another operator may come in and provide that same service. I don't think we need to be picking winners and losers when it comes to gym memberships. And I think that we need to take a look at policy. We know that state law does have carve-outs for retail, and it does not define gyms as retail. I think it kind of falls into the same economic category. But I'm very curious, and I do think Kent looked this up. What can the local IDA do? Can they say no? Should they start saying no? Should they examine their own policies on what they consider economic development?
Well,
Because the state law totally allows this.
To be clear, the county is saying this is a very good investment.
Retail.
That's what they're saying.
Retail applies to restaurant. I have a significant restaurant business. It applies to spa. I have a significant spa business, and I have a retail outlet. I have not a pro shop. I have a retail store. We sell Lululemon.
Do you think
actually, you're wrong about that? Most of those don't qualify as retail under the state statute.
But most of us think of that as retail.
I don't disagree.
I mean, most of us think about that as retail. So,
and again, retail is expressly excluded by the law. So, to the extent that portion of what you're doing is retail, it is the only thing that is expressly excluded by state statute. But, you know, beyond that, the IDAs have tremendous discretion.
No, but Rachel, in your position, likely to be on the Monroe County Legislature, are you going to argue that the definition of economic development or benefits for tax breaks is way too loose or too broad here?
Yes, but I don't think the Monroe County Legislature has a lot of say over what happens on Comita other than appointments. I've made this argument when it comes to Comita, and I've made this argument when it comes to the Democrat-controlled Empire State Development. So this really isn't a partisan issue for me. Today, when you hear people talking about this issue, and a lot of people are talking about it online and in person, you're going to see Democrats and Republicans agree with my position. What you're not going to hear are politicians, a lot of elected officials stepping forward and saying this isn't right, because everyone engages in it. We have a real pay-to-play system in our community and in our state that has set up this system. I'm not saying that this project is explicitly part of that pay-to-play system, but what I am saying is that the system is the way it is for a reason, and I don't believe that it is serving the public. Our economic development system in this state is broken, and you will see time and time again these worksheets saying that the community is going to benefit with X number of jobs and X number of spillover, indirect, and the math doesn't really work. We know it doesn't work because we know that we're losing a lot of people who are in domestic out-migration to other places. We know that Rochester has a very slow-growing economy. We know that we are struggling. And so we have to take a look at these policies, and we should be investing in things that are creating wealth in our community, and we're just not always doing that.
So before we get to your feedback, we're going to spend our second half hour on your feedback here. Glenn, when it comes to the jobs, 20 full-time, 10 part-time?
Correct. That's correct.
And you feel pretty good that those numbers are going to be met?
Oh, yeah, that's really conservative. And I mean, we're building boutique clubs all through our club, and every one of those boutique clubs has to have a studio manager.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to bring in more people, specialized people, to be able to provide the services under the roof that we currently have.
20 full-time jobs with benefits?
Absolutely.
And well-paying? I mean, what kind of jobs, what kind of pay are we talking about?
Yeah, we're not talking about minimum wage jobs. We're talking about professionals. We're talking about professional coaches, trainers, tennis professionals, along that line.
How many people does Midtown employ currently?
About 140 full-time, and probably twice that number part-time.
Family membership listed at $336 a month?
That's right.
Is that changing with this expansion?
Not at this point. Not until we're totally done, no.
But so you're not, are you asking any level of membership to step up with this expansion?
Every level of membership steps up a little bit every year. There's always a 1% or 2%, some COLA-related increase every year. But there will be an increase at some point in time when we're done. We've promised members there will be no construction-related increase until we're all done, so people can try and kick the tires and try the different studios. But there will be an increase, but it'll be over a period of 3 to 5 years.
You talked to Imagine Monroe, what was it, just yesterday you heard from them?
That's correct.
What was the game plan if they would have come back and said, we love what you do at Midtown, but we're not going to support this project?
We're going to cross that bridge when we get to it. We don't have an answer yet, so we won't know till next week.
But it's actually possible that you're going to scale back this expansion?
Anything's possible, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Let me get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and get some feedback from listeners as we talk to Glenn William, partner and general manager of Midtown Athletic Club. And again, Rachel mentioned membership. I'm not a member there. I'm a member at Planet Fitness. I love when I get invited to play basketball or tennis at Midtown. I say yes every time. Though at one point I'm going to tear an ACL there, but that's just because of my age. Kent Gardner is the chief economist with the Center for Governmental Research. Rachel Barnhart recently won a primary election for a seat in the county legislature and a former investigative journalist. Let's go ahead and get that break, and we're right back next. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections. Is the reality as grim as the loudest headlines about vaping make it appear? We're going to talk about vaping, what we do and don't know about it from a health perspective and from a habit perspective. Then in our second hour, a preview, the National Women's Hall of Fame's new inductees. Talk to you on Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's go ahead and get some of your feedback. Betsy in Brighton. We got almost a full bank of phone calls. Go ahead, Betsy.
I have to say that we moved here to Rochester, and I did belong to Midtown when we first came here and ended up leaving because it was too expensive for us to participate. And yes, my husband is of the medical profession. I don't think people who are physicians would be joining because they have too much debt to pay back their medical school loans to be able to afford it. Second of all, I bet you that Mr. Williams would consider himself to be a capitalist, and in that vein, he needs to pay for that himself, because if he wants it, then put his money where his mouth is. I don't think that the jobs that they're going to create would add value to the community, because those jobs are going to get filled anyway. And also, I think that Midtown is a classic location, just like country clubs, where the 1% hobnob among themselves and run policies behind the citizenry of the rest of the community, and those decisions should be made among the public and not among those who have privilege. So, and the other thing I want to say is that Rochester was listed as one of the poorest communities in the country because of the inner city poverty situation. That money should be giving more money in taxes to improve the situation in the inner city of Rochester, to improve the community for all of us, so that it makes it a more desirable place for people to come to. And personally, I came here from out of state. I love Rochester. Rochester has a ton of assets. They do not need to be putting money towards these exclusive locations. And I think that whenever you build the laws, and guess who's building the laws? It's the people hobnobbing at country clubs and places like Midtown so that it benefits them. I think that we need to do something to improve all of our community here in Rochester. I would put my money towards building up the inner city of Rochester and pulling in other assets that we have.
Betsy, thank you for the phone call. She says she assumes, Glenn, you're a capitalist. Yeah?
Thank God. Yes, I'm a capitalist.
Okay. How do you feel about level playing fields in government assistance then?
Well, you know, Midtown's not for everybody. I'm not pretending Midtown's for everybody. The IDA offers what the IDA offers, and we've qualified for it. If you're a wealthy kid and you're going to a college, an expensive college, and that college offers a scholarship to a wealthy family, and that wealthy family qualifies, would you not take the scholarship? I mean, this is silly. The argument really isn't with me at all.
In some sense, that's the point that, Rachel, you made earlier. You agree with that?
I do, and I want to piggyback off something that Betsy made me think about. from the perspective of many people listening, this just makes people very cynical. It makes them not trust government. We have to think about those things. The optics of this really do bother people. And I think that there are elected officials, the people on Comita, they need to think about what this looks like in a community that, that is struggling in many places. And I think that's important. We should always care about building trust with citizens and making sure that they have faith in what we're doing.
But Glenn's point is just, he's playing by the rules. This is totally legal. So if people are upset about this, probably direct the opprobrium elsewhere is kind of what I'm hearing. And you seem to agree with that.
Yeah, I singled Glenn out in my complaints about this project because I think it just makes the case. It's something that everybody really understands.
You could have made the case with LA Fitness.
Yes, and I wish I had. At the time, I do wish I had, Glenn. I have made the case many times over many similar projects. I spoke at Comita earlier this year about a tax break for a Morgan project that did not include any housing affordability. So, I mean, I've been doing this a long time when it comes to these things, and I really do think that we need to talk at the policy level about this issue.
Kent, you want to add to that?
Yeah, and I think that there are other categories. I mean, I don't think there's been a hotel or motel that's been built in Monroe County that hasn't gotten assistance from the county adult, you know, the county industrial development agency. And honestly, hotels, building a new hotel, as a general rule, does not actually bring in new people from outside the community. We're not having more room nights just because we, built a new, mid-range hotel in Henrietta. Now, downtown is different. I do think that we can offer tax breaks when we're trying to incent development in a specific location. So, you know, we're looking at the Rochester Riverside being closed, for example, and raised. And that's going to be a very different situation. So I would not put that. If somebody's going to build a hotel there, I wouldn't put it into the same category.
John in Rochester is next on the phone. Go ahead, John.
Thank you for taking my call, Evan. This is a great topic.
Sure.
I used Comita nearly 10 years ago, entering into a fairly new sector in the industry that I'm in, and it worked very well for me. I was able to spend about $4 million and build a new business and hire what has now grown to be about 60 people. Fast forward 9 years and look at my same business. I've since built two other projects totaling over $10 million in construction costs and resulting in about 80 jobs. And I've done that without $1 of government assistance or intervention. I did that, or I did not apply, I should say, for Imagine Monroe, because I just felt that morally, ethically, I didn't have a need for it. Comita was there for me when I needed to take a shot to start a business. I didn't need it at this point. Now, I'd be happy to take the breaks, and as Glenn is saying, it's there, why not take it? I think the why not take it is because we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and really rationalize why we're asking for help, and this truly is help. So that's, I guess that's my position on it. As far as creating new jobs, I can tell you as a business owner that the labor market is so tight right now that there aren't a lot of people looking for jobs that aren't already working. So new jobs, I would really question that, because if somebody wants a job in this day and age in Rochester, it's not very difficult to find one. It may not be the job you want, but it's the job you need until you find the job you want.
John, thanks for the phone call. Glenn, how do you feel about the idea of, you know, it's there, just take it? John's saying he doesn't do that. He doesn't think people should.
And that's great. And I have no idea what level of capital he puts back into his business. I can tell you that the people I work for in Chicago, the primary owners, they put millions and millions of dollars back into our business each and every year. There is zero deferred capital. We are pouring money in to keep our place up. It's not like many businesses that just don't keep up with the game. Our reinvestment in our club, which is a reinvestment in this community, and again, I've never been more convinced that the tangible asset of bringing people in and having Midtown be an attraction to prospective people coming to Rochester isn't something that we continually invest hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions in each and every year.
Okay. So let's get Kate in Fairport next on the phone. Go ahead, Kate.
Hey, Evan, thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I belonged to Midtown when I first moved back from Boston, and I belong to Natick Sports Club out there. And just first and foremost, you can put a bubble over that pool and make it year-round if you really wanted to instead of building another seven-lane. But the point of my call is, when it comes to these kind of tax breaks to do this ever expansion, And again, it's going to be for their market and their audience. And I left Midtown back in like early 2000s because there was an ownership change and my membership rate went sky high. But then also I've tried to go back there a few times and I find policies like single people cost more, but if you partner up with a fake partner, you can get a cheaper rate. I mean, that kind of stuff is dumb. And I've actually moved over to the Y, and I wonder if some of this is all coinciding with the fact that the Y is opening up a beautiful new Southeast Y right on September 30th. And why not? I think they do a great job. And they've offered me financial assistance in the past when I really needed it. And I don't see Midtown ever doing any of that. I have several family, friends, and members that are looking to leave Midtown to join the Y when they open. And some of it is because they're only there for 6 months of the year. They think Midtown has gotten too expensive. They have kids in college. They don't go there enough. So there is a competition for the membership base that belongs to Midtown. And I've never seen Midtown go out of their way to help different types of demographics in joining. And Y has gone into joining U of R and doing healthy things like bigger picture stuff. So that's just my point.
Yeah, Kate.
I just think that Midtown has to step up to get these benefits.
Kate, thank you. So a couple questions for Glenn William, the general manager of Midtown. Do you offer financial assistance for anyone who's a member there?
No, we do not.
Okay. How do you feel about the YMCA's expansion?
It's competition. It's real close to us. I grew up swimming in a YMCA. I fully appreciate the mission of a YMCA. I question the YMCA building in Pittsford, New York, as opposed to in the heart of the city where there are more significant needs for what a YMCA, what I believe their fundamental mission should be. But you know, I'm focused on what we're doing. I'm focused on Midtown Rochester, not on the YMCA.
I know you had some critical comments about the YMCA's tax-exempt status.
Yeah, I made a comment that the YMCA is going to be competing. They're building the largest YMCA in the United States. 140,000 square feet. It's going to be competing in my market for the people that we have. They will be the beneficiaries of tax-deductible donations. They will not pay property taxes. They will not pay sales tax. And they're going to look, smell, and act as much as they possibly can like Midtown Athletic Club.
And how big is Midtown in terms of square feet?
125,000 square feet.
Okay, so the YMCA is bigger. The Pittsford location, and the chief marketing officer for the Y is Pam Cowan, who sent the following statement. She said, the YMCA is proud to earn its tax-exempt status every day. In our last fiscal year, we provided more than $3 million in financial assistance. Of that, more than $2.6 million came from generous community contributors to our annual campaign. All funds were used to provide nearly 16,000 community members much-needed child care services and aid them on their journey to health and wellness. In addition, the Y supports the community through enhanced teen programming, free swim lessons for kids under three, chronic disease prevention, and expanded opportunities for active older adults. Much like our community, the YMCA of Greater Rochester is an interconnected network. Our suburban branches provide critical financial support to help sustain the urban mission. Simply put, our association model means the success of one is the success of all, end quote.
Yeah, so generally what we're talking about is philanthropy in one definition or other, giving back to members, giving back to the community. I mean, we've chosen our philanthropy to be in the community. We've supported Bavona, the L. Siegel Center. We raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the American Diabetes Association. We give $150,000 a year to George Eastman House. I mean, we are very, very involved giving back. We don't give back to our members, per se, in this sense, but we give back to the community. And our members are involved in our giving back to the community because they participate and fund the events that enable us to give back. Look, we're talking about almost $1 million a year that we give back to charitable organizations in this town. We're talking about the chairman of the president of our company in Chicago, who served as the president of the George Eastman House for 4 years. Midtown Athletic Club makes an incredible commitment to this community.
How about the Y status, tax exempt, and what they're doing in Pittsford? Does it bother you, Rachel Barnhart?
Well, I will say this. You know, I grew up swimming at the Maplewood YMCA. I've been a Y member forever, and I'm now a member of the Metro Y. And, you know, when I first saw the news and I've been seeing all the donations to the Pittsford Y, yeah, it did make me a little uncomfortable because I'm such a huge champion of the YMCAs in the city. I was so grateful that the Maplewood YMCA was saved. Occasionally we worry about the Y on Monroe Avenue and what's going to happen to that. And I've heard the CEO of the YMCA say that, look, we need help from our suburban YMCAs to keep these city YMCAs afloat. I know that my membership dues are helping the people next to me who swim in the lane next to me be able to afford going there. I think the Y's mission is just really different, and I think they do deserve their nonprofit status, and I really, really hope that they continue to invest in the city in the years to come, because I think that the Y and its mission is unique, and it is just vitally, vitally important. I appreciate Glenn's concern about competition. There's no question that that the Y will be a competitor. But the question before us in terms of Comita is, should Comita be helping businesses compete with each other in the same market? I'm sure Kent would have something to say about that.
You want to add to that?
You know, actually, I don't. I mean, I think that our whole not-for-profit IRS status is complicated, trying to sift out who ought to be a not-for-profit and who shouldn't be, I think, is something beyond the show. So,
all right. Let me get to Jim in Fairport next on the phone. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I wish I had an opportunity to respond to have a little more discussion. Maybe I encourage the discussion that was just kind of foreshortened. Part of my question does have to do with the YMCA and the fact that I was just at a wedding the other day. This is not really my intention in the call, but, you know, this idea of the YMCA as a philanthropic organization building this fanciest and most lavish facility, as far as I can tell, in the county to attract people of a higher income level. I was just at a wedding on Saturday, overhearing people who live in that area talking about shifting from one to the other. Because it's, quote, nicer, you know, and it's got more stuff. And, you know, that troubles me. But anyway, and so I really think that this high-tax environment, if Midtown didn't apply for this, I would say the management was making a mistake. I think they have every right to. Where my problem is not the management of Midtown. My problem is in Albany and places like that where they set up these things that set up preferential treatment for certain things. And I look back at it. What does the I and IDA stand for? Industrial? Is this industrial? Is this trying to really build a competitive environment where we were having trouble? I don't think so. This is lavish things for rich people, all of them. And I wish I could say the problem is this particular circumstance. I don't think it is. I think the problem is that we have a fundamental corruption in the system. Maybe corruption's not the right word. Maybe abusive. Because we have a high tax environment here in Monroe County and New York State in general. And every time somebody takes taxes off the table, the taxes there's more pressure on the tax system to raise the money that's needed to go forward. I often disagree with Ms. Barnhart on certain things, but in this case, I'm right in her camp. I just think that you can't keep giving people breaks for profit-making organizations. It just makes no sense.
Jim, thank you for the phone call. He keys in on the I, Kent, in industrial development. So let's ask you the question, given that you've been critical of this particular possible award of financial incentive, taxpayer incentive, when is it appropriate? When does it make sense, so to speak?
Yeah, I'd go with three categories. First, I would say that if you have an entity that is going to demonstrably bring new income into the community from outside the region. We call those, you know, those traded goods sectors. You're bringing in, new NIH research dollars to the University of Rochester Medical Center, for example. That's a traded sector investment. That's great. We're a new manufacturing facility. So that's one. Two is where we are actually increasing the we're dealing with a blighted area, so perhaps we're dealing with a brownfield or something like that. So I think that makes sense, and then I also think that there are occasionally locational issues, downtown revitalization, other cases where it makes sense to have a tax break.
And is the but-for provision always part of it?
Not always. I mean, again, if you're talking about downtown revitalization, typically does. Brownfields, it typically does. So usually I think the but-for clause applies. But you can use tax breaks to incent certain things. But let's not kid ourselves in thinking that they have ripple effects, multiplier effects, spillover effects, as we call them in our biz.
You want to add to that?
I mean, one of the state carve-outs for these projects is a distressed area. The city right now is trying to get commercial corridors going, commercial corridors where we've driven by them that have a ton of vacant storefronts. I would say that, Comita might have a role to play and that kind of thing. If IKEA ever wants to come to Rochester, I'm sure we would have a raging debate over the incentives offered to IKEA.
We'd have a debate?
You're right.
There'd be a riot.
Right. But the big question would be, how much money would come from outside the area to boost our sales tax revenue? And I think that would be a worthwhile debate. The last caller, when he talked about systemic corruption, that is really what it is. The reason we have the system that we have is because it really benefits the people in power. They get to have ribbon cuttings. They get to get campaign donations. They get to benefit from all of this and say that they're doing something and get votes, get money, and then the system just keeps perpetuating itself. If politicians weren't able to hand out money anymore, I think you'd see a really different landscape.
Let me get back to your phone calls. We could do this all day. Lisa, and unfortunately, we only got about 5 minutes left. Lisa in Brighton next. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi. Thank you for taking this. I wanted to kind of comment, there's been a lot of, we kind of live in a different age now where anytime there is even a little bit of perceived elitism, people get a little bit worked up. I am a member of Midtown. I'm by no means anywhere near the top 1%. And with that, the only reason I'm pointing this out is that it's important to think about, maybe people prioritize certain things in their lives. It just happens to be something that I prioritize is where I work out and how I want to do that. Fine. But I think as a community, Rochester is notorious for pushing things out that improve the community. The Fast Ferry, when we talked about the casino potentially downtown, things like that, there's a real quickness to say, no, this money should go somewhere else, or no, this and that. And the problem is that if you want to argue the policy of this, what we're talking about today, fine, argue the policy, and maybe that should change. But to sit here and think, if it's something that's going to something that not everyone can obtain, that's very myopic. We do want people to stay in Rochester. People leave Rochester. People don't come to Rochester for things. And to Glenn's point, having things, I know that Midtown is not the Star Museum, but it all adds up to what is available in your town. And we should be proud of those things in the sense that if it's drawing people here and keeping people here, it is important. Now, also to Glenn's point, you could argue, okay, well, maybe we, Midtown, should have some other requirement for, charitable outreach or whatever, and that's fine, too. Those are all different arguments. But I really get it's a dangerous thing to immediately leap on in a negative way anything that is perceived as a benefit only to some. And I really think that, when you're pulling people in, when you're bringing people here, keeping people here, it's really a benefit to the whole city.
So, Lisa, just help me understand one thing here. You said we're too negative in this town about certain sort of big projects, et cetera, and you mentioned the Fast Ferry. What's your view of what happened there?
Well, it's funny because I was on a committee that 10 years before it ever came through to fruition, and it was this battle. It was this constant battle to get it here, and there are all these things. People really want to put money other places. And it's like, this isn't the conversation we're having. We're having a conversation about building this ferry, making this accessible, creating this waterfront. It was this constant turn of, but what if we put the money over here? What if we put the money over there? And so then it happened, and it wasn't supported enough, and it just went away.
let me jump in because we're going to lose time here, Lisa. I mean, the narrative on the Fast Ferry, the news anchor for the number one station in town wore a tuxedo on the Fast Ferry to celebrate its arrival. The problem is it was twice the size that it should have been, but it wasn't analyzed properly enough, and Toronto really didn't give a damn. The narrative is not that people didn't support it or we didn't, like, publicize it.
It's just bad arithmetic, yeah, right?
No, I mean,
and it
has
made us very skittish ever since.
Fair.
To really think outside the box, to think about innovation,
We were not critical enough. Journalists like me.
Very critical,
You
Evan.
Were. I was less critical. I could have done better. But to her point, she sees Midtown as being on that list that this community needs. To Glenn's point,
well,
there.
She, you know, she's a member, and I think it's really important to emphasize, you know, as I emphasize, hey, Glenn, not trying to point, you know, single you out or single Midtown out. Certainly, I hope that people listening who are members of Midtown don't think that they're being criticized.
No, I've heard from members
Midtown
privately
is wonderful,
who
and
agree
I have,
with you.
And I have friends at Midtown. I think it's a great place, and if people want to go there, they should be able to go there and enjoy it.
Okay,
I'll go back to the point that Kent, we're never going to agree with this, but. If you ask the realtors on the east side of town, top five places you take people from out of town who are going to be in well-paid jobs, career jobs, Midtown Athletic Club's one of those five places.
Okay.
On their tour.
Does that sway you, Ken?
Not particularly, but, you know, as Glenn said, we're not going to agree on this.
Glenn, you expect to get final word on this when?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. And everything looks good here. Again, the statement from the county, this is good. The good news for you is, I don't know if you know this, once it gets to this stage, they never go back.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Next week, it's on the agenda for the Comita board meeting.
But it's going to happen.
And you know,
yes.
And that paints a case for why I really don't have to be on this show with you. But I feel it's important. I think it's an important dialogue. I respect both of you guys, and I think it's a worthy endeavor.
Glenn, you did not have to say yes, and I appreciate the fact that you did. You're absolutely right about that.
Being transparent is very important.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And I won't sue you if I tear an ACL on your court.
I'll be out there with the AED or whatever.
Glenn's a partner and general manager of Midtown Athletic Club, which next week we do expect this break to go through for them. Rachel Barnhart, thanks for taking the time to join us this hour.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great discussion.
Kent Gardner is the chief economist with the Center for Governmental Research. Thank you, Kent.
Always a pleasure.
Our thanks to everyone behind the glass today. Did I see Don McDonald back there? Don is here. Emma Ray is interning with us. Thank you. Megan Mack producing. Rob Braden, the engineer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Don't tear an ACL. Talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.